So this is going to be, again, since this is going to appear on the internet as being a short class, that's because we had a private time before this, and well, sometimes you just have to be here. But this has prompted me to take the occasion to do a little bit of a special event tonight and to address an issue that is coming up on our horizon here, as I said, in Romans 14, 19. It's the first time that we come across the issue of actually confronting the word edify. Well, we talk about edification all the time. I need to get to my my other charts here. Hang on just a second. The issue of a person coming to a church, and again, this is a very challenging question oftentimes. Why do you go to church? And you may be in contact with others, and it may be a way for you to be able to present some things, because most people don't even think about being asked that. I came across a guy, not recently, but within the last couple of years, I came across a guy who wants to be a pastor. And he's going to like seminary. And I asked him that question. I said, why do you have a church? Why do churches exist? He couldn't answer. He said, I don't really know. Well, I'm not surprised. But operating as that pillar and ground of the truth, we understand and appreciate that everything is about coming together so that godly edification can take place. We use that word edify, edification, tons and tons and tons and tons of times. We're confronted with it for the first time here in Romans 14, 19, but it's not the first time that word has, or the meaning of that word has occurred to you. Paul doesn't explain godly edifying. He says it as if you already know what it means, and you do already know what it means. You would know what it means. If you've tracked through Romans the way you have, you know what it means. But there's other terms. The reason for being here, as we've stated so many times, is to be edified unto godliness, which is in faith. And there's a lot to that. There's other, the edify expression is one of those very vivid, picturesque expressions. And there's others that Paul uses. Edification isn't the only one. There's others. Growth, he talks about growing. He talks about being nurtured, which again is part of that growing issue, being fed. The issue that you are spiritually growing, but not just spiritually growing any old way, but that you're spiritually growing the way God intends you to grow. And that should be the concern of every saint. Now, I'm going to focus tonight on that issue of edify. And that I just want to say a couple of things about it. Godly edification actually occurs several times in the New Testament. It has five different forms or variations in the Bible. Five. This is the first one. Edification. That's what I mean by a form. They all start with E-D-I-F. It's but edification is used four times in the Bible. Romans 15:2, 1 Corinthians 14:3, 2 Corinthians 10:8, and 2 Corinthians 13:10. We're not going to go and find all of these and run these verses. This first part of this is just technical information. Secondly, you've got another variation of it, edified. That occurs twice. Once in Acts 9:31. And that ought to make you think. Acts 9. And once in 1 Corinthians 14:17. Thirdly, you have the word edifieth. And by the way, those ETH endings are important. They're not just older English and, oh, that's just old fogey, old-fashioned talking and we don't talk that way anymore. Yeah, I know we don't talk that way anymore because the way we talk is incredibly inaccurate. This is incredibly, highly accurate. that T-E-T, the T there, that T stands for anyway, I'm not going to get into that. I can't get into all these things. Edifieth occurs three times. 1 Corinthians 1:8, 1 Corinthians 14:4, it occurs in that passage twice. So you've got three edifieth, once in 1 Corinthians 1:8, twice in the 1 Corinthians 14:4 passage. And again, if you don't write these down, it doesn't really matter. But if you want to, okay. And then we've got edify. Edify occurs three times. We just noted it in Romans 14:19, 1 Corinthians 10:23, and 1 Thessalonians 5:11. By the way, I double-checked these to make sure they're right, unlike what I did on Sunday. Five, the last one, is edifying. It occurs the most, eight times. Quite a few in 1 Corinthians, quite a few in Ephesians. 1 Corinthians 14:5, 14:12, 14:26. 2 Corinthians 12:19, and then in Ephesians 4:12, 4:16, 4:29, all in chapter 4. And then 1 Timothy 1:4. What you've got there is you've got a total of 20 times in 19 verses. Now that's the entire New Testament. So it doesn't occur at all in the gospel accounts, the word edify or edifying. I'm not saying it wasn't going on there. I'm just saying the word doesn't occur there. You have a total of five different forms used 20 times in 19 verses. Of the 20 times the word edify or any of its forms is used, 19 of those 20 times are all in Paul's epistles. There's one stray one. And that one is that one that is, you've got it in Romans twice, 1 Corinthians nine times, 2 Corinthians three times, Ephesians three times, 1 Thessalonians once, and 1 Timothy once. But that one time, come back to Acts 9 and look at that one. I want you to see that passage. Some of you know this passage. And it's kind of important for what we're going to do that you do see it. Acts chapter 9, this is after the Apostle Paul was saved. So the dispensation of grace actually has gotten underway. And Israel, the remnant of Israel, as you well know, you're not going to get thrown for a loop by what we're about to read, which many people, they just go nuts and say, oh. We come across the word church, but it's not talking about you, me, or any part of the body of Christ. It's talking about the remnant of Israel. The remnant of Israel was called a church, as you well know. The word church is not always talking about the same thing every time you see it in your Bible. Some people, that's all they see. They say, see church, that's us. They see water, that's baptism. Or the other way, baptism, that's water. Look at verse 31. Acts 9, verse 31. Now, Paul's been saved in this context. You can read that context for yourself. But then we've got a mention of the churches of Israel, the remnant churches. Verse 31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Now that passage is not talking about you or the body of Christ. That's talking about what happened was when God brought in this new dispensation of grace. He saved and raised up the Apostle Paul. One of the characters that was thrown for one of the biggest loops when that happened was Satan himself. Because he had no idea this was going to happen. You know, they had the apostles had the full 12 accompaniment now. They'd gotten Matthias to take Judas's place, rightly so. They had 12 apostles, and he was starting to go about exactly what he was going to do in attacking that remnant. And as they were getting ready to go into that final installment of the fifth course of punishment, he was going to bring all kinds of persecution on them because they are going to actually do what has happened twice before. They're going to end up in captivity, and he was going to take them into that captivity. Anyway, all that started, and then suddenly Paul is saved. And to put it the way Keith put it to me, he said, it's almost as if Satan went to where Paul was, left all these churches of the remnant alone. That's why it says they had rest. And basically sat on a stump looking at that apostle and waiting for him to move. So that's the one verse that is not in Paul's epistles that the word edify or edification comes up in. There are three similar Greek words, and I don't think I'm going to write them just to impress you. But I do want to show you something about it. So let's do this. Oh, I always have to do that first. You'd think after 25 years I'd figure that out. You have oikodome, O-I-K, and then we have O-D-O-M-E, oikodome. This is O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E, and that's a long E on the end. The eta is always long. And then the others are very similar to that. Oikodomeo, you just have, the difference is the endings. And the endings, D-O-M-E-O, D-O-M-E-O, oikodomeo, still the same beginning. And oiko, if I can see this right, domia, oiko, D-O-M-I-A, oikodomia. But just focus on this right now. Here's your English. Oiko Dome. The only reason I bring this out is because this prefix of this Greek word, oiko, O-I-K-O, you know what that means? It means house. Building a house. House building. All right. Just docket that for now. We'll come back to that. Now, those three Greek words, the King James translators translated all three forms of that in only three different ways throughout the New Testament. They translated them either edify, or one of its variations or forms, build, or one of its variation or forms, building, buildest. One time, in 1 Corinthians 8:10, they translated it embolden. But in that case, and it's properly translated, it's the building up of courage. So outside of one time, the entire time they dealt with that Greek word, they dealt with it either in edify or build. Edify or build. All right, let's take a look at edify. And we're going to have our old friend for help here. Now, you don't need to write this all down. If you don't want to write this down, that's fine. But I've got a reason for going over this. We talk a lot about edification in this church. I don't think we've ever really sat down and defined it. But it goes to the issue of why we are a church. Why we're here, why we gather together, to fulfill 1 Timothy 3:16 and follow, to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. And that simple issue is something that most of the body of Christ doesn't even recognize. Most of them go to church, some of them have left this church to go to other churches because they have something better for their family, something better for their children. Maybe it's closer, and it's too far of a drive to get here. And this is too boring, and I take too long, or whatever it is. and have gone back into denominationalism, wherein it godly edifying is impossible under a denomination. It's impossible because this can't take place. Edify. Well, let's look at it from our old friend, the OED. Now, we're going to look at Webster because Webster basically parallels what the OED says, so I'm just going to put it up here. And when you get the OED, you have the most common is number one, and then it gets less and less common as you go down through meanings. And we're not going to dwell on this very long, but the most common meaning of edify is to build, to construct a dwelling or an edifice. In fact, we get our word edifice from edify. Of the usual building materials, to build or construct a dwelling or edifice of the usual building materials. That's talking about a physical building like this block building we're sitting in. It's an edifice. It was edified. It's the most common meaning. And that's good because every nuance of edify will have that to it. Even like I said, when they translated it embolden, it was when you're emboldened, something is being built within you. Two, and the way you handle a dictionary like this is to deal with these definitions and be able to find the ones that don't apply contextually and then find the ones that do apply to the context, and maybe that'll help you. Number two, to construct, set up, irrespective of the object or kind of materials. Doesn't have to be a building. To fashion materials into a building or structure. To establish, organize, or strengthen a person. Now we're getting into something else. To strengthen a person. And then they can't help but bring in the issue of growing. To take form or grow. You can even talk about a plant is being edified. It's growing and being formed into something. So that's getting us a little closer. Three. In religious matters, he says, in religious use, to build up the church or soul in faith and holiness, to build up the church or soul in faith and holiness, to benefit spiritually, to strengthen, support, to inform, instruct, to profit in a spiritual sense, to gain instruction. Edify, to gain instruction. And they put that, of course, the OED is using a religious sense. They say religious. But all right. That's edify. Now, edification, you say, well, how can they differ? They can differ just slightly. Edification, back to our little OED friend, and I'm cutting out all the different definitions to get to the one that really matters. And this is how it appears in the OED. It starts out in parenthesis, 1 Corinthians 14. Remember all those times in 1 Corinthians 14 the word comes up? The building up of the church of the soul in faith and holiness, the imparting of a moral and spiritual stability and strength by suitable instruction and exhortation. And God is my witness, they end by quoting Romans 14:19. The building up the church of the soul in faith and holiness, the imparting of moral and spiritual stability and strength by suitable instruction and exhortation. Okay. Now let's look at this. Edification. In all 20, including that one in Acts 9. In Acts 9, even though it's not in our program, it's talking about Israel's program. In all 20 times, the word edification or any of its forms is used in God's Word all 20 times in Scripture. It is used only in connection with two things. Only two. One, It's used in God's word to describe the individual believer, the individual Christian, the individual believer. It's either used that to edification for the individual believer or to, and you should know this, the church, the body. I find that magnificent. Edify is only used exclusively for those two things. I don't know if that's an oxymoron, exclusively for two things. But since we're all of that, it's either in a context of talking about the individual believer or the church, the local assembly, which can be the local church, the local, or it can be the entire church, comprising of all believers, all Christians alive on the earth at any given moment. And in this dispensation, that's every single believer in Jesus Christ alive right now. And I'm not, of course, the ones that are dead, but the ones on this earth that are alive, that's the body of Christ, the whole kit and caboodle. I say that because one of my detractors once said that I go around teaching that Triangle Bible Church is the only body of Christ on earth. I've been accused of that. How did they ever get that so screwed up? You know what these people need to do? Stop listening to me. That's what they need to do. They need to stop listening to me. I implore them, don't listen to me. Anyway, biblical edification, scriptural edification, edification according to the Word of God, biblical, scriptural, godly edification is not talking about, nor is it dealing with any physical structure or building, right? We're not talking about a physical structure or building. And that includes that one time in Acts when God used the word edify to talk about in his program with Israel, the church of the remnant, or in this dispensation of grace in which we live. In either case, God's program with Israel or us as the members of the, in the church of dispensation of grace, it is never talking about a physical structure or physical building. Rather, the structure or the building in view is either the inner man, the soul and the spirit, of the individual believer or Christian, or the spiritual component of the local assembly or church composed of all or a portion of all believers or Christians. That's the structure. That's the building in view. The building is your inner man, your soul and spirit. Individually, for number one up there, and for number two, it's talking about that same conformity to the image of Christ that is going to transpire in the local assembly, either as a local assembly or the whole body of Christ, either in portion or in whole. If this, and by the way, if this isn't why we're here and what we're doing, I don't want to be a pastor, and I don't want to go to church. Because quite frankly, without looking at this and understanding this is what Jesus Christ bled and died. Jesus Christ did not, and I know you heard Keith say it, you hear me say it all the time, he did not bleed, die, and redeem just to save you from hell, just to save your skin. He sanctified you. And it's not, Katie, bar the door, do it any way you want. There's a very closely held, prescribed method, and no man designed it, and no man ordered it. Man's talent, and when I say man's talent, I mean men who stand behind pulpits with Bibles, some of the most dangerous individuals on the face of this earth, is a man behind a pulpit with a Bible who doesn't know what he's doing. There's nothing more dangerous than that. Not Hitler, not Stalin, not Trump, not Hillary. There is no one more dangerous to a person than a man behind a pulpit with a Bible who doesn't know what he's doing. The building is the inner man. That's what is supposed to be growing. That is what's supposed to be taking place. That's why we come together. And I do not want to go to some place and hear some horrible sounding choir or some music. As a musician, the current music that's being written, if you take God out of the picture entirely and take the church and worship out of the picture entirely, it's some of the worst music ever written. When I mean worst, I'm not talking about that it's like rap music. I'm talking about the putting together of the chord structure of some of these songs is some of the dumbest, most pathetic musical writing I have ever come across. It's just awful to listen to. And especially when they go this chorus thing, of chorus over. So now what you're doing is, it's like sticking you with a needle again and again and again and again. It's like somebody poking my eardrum out over and over and over when I'd have to sit through that. And your hands in the air isn't doing anything but letting people smell your armpits. Again, they're chinos. They're churches in name only. And there's nothing in those places that's attractive. I'd rather meet in a cave and get this than meet where they meet and have to suffer through that crap. The building materials of this structure. Well, you know what they are. The building materials are the actual words of God as found in the completed written word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Let's look at these. 1 Timothy 6:3. Now, you're not going to find the word edify here. You're going to find terms that you'll look at and say, aha, that's talking about edification. 1 Timothy chapter, what have I got up here? I've got 6:3. Let's look at one more that's not on the board. I wrote it in my notes but didn't put it on the board. Before you stop off at 1 Timothy 6, come over to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6. How do I know that the building materials for godly edification... By the way, that's what the building materials are. The building materials are not poems. They're not sermons. They're not sermons. The building materials of edification are not sermons. I don't care how clever they are, and they put them on their CDs or DVD-ROMs and all the other crap. The only building materials are the actual words of God. You better have them. The real ones. The genuine words of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished. There's edification. It's one of those edifying words. It's not edification, but it's one of them. There's the growth. Nourished. Up in what? The words of faith. Not in the newest. You know, I go by a church. There's a church in Wake Forest that has two different services on every Sunday morning. One is contemporary and one is traditional. That tells me all I need to know. No, this is what it's about. It's about being nourished up in the words, plural. Not the word of faith, the words of faith. And of good doctrine. What was edification all about? One of the things we looked at, instruction. And even though the word edify isn't used here, it's dripping in this verse. Whereunto thou hast attained. Another one very much like it. Come over to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and look at verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words. That's a perfect way of describing the actual words of God as found in His completed written word. Even the words, plural, of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have the mind of Christ here. Even in Paul's epistles, it's the mind of Christ. And the doctrine, which is according to godliness. Again, edify isn't used in that verse, but it's soaked with it. One other. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the verses that I was telling you about, that Keith talked about in his email there so much. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Well, no, that's not this one. That's 1 Timothy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You're not going to get instructed in righteousness by somebody who takes the Word of God apart and teaches or preaches the parts they want to teach and preach. That isn't going to be done. That's using the Bible in an unbiblical way. And I'm telling you what, any pastor who pastors a church and teaches topical messages is intentionally keeping his own assembly from being edified unto godliness properly. I don't care who they are. Now, I carry no weight in that statement. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. There's the perfection of edification. Truly furnished unto all good works. Again, it just seeps edification. The builder, God Himself, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Look at these two passages quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 6. I have planted, Paul talking about himself, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. There's your edification. Increase. God gave it. Not Paul, not Apollos. God gave it. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. One other passage, Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. And not holding the capital H head, Jesus Christ, not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, there's edification, ministered, that's how it's done. That's what the function of the local assembly is, ministering nourishment. It's another way of talking about godly edification. It's not talking about actually eating. Having nourishment ministered, and knit together increaseth with the increase of God. These verses almost define godly edifying. All right, we're out of time, so let's finish this up. Now, what I'm about to put on the board, do not write down. So I'm saving your hand. This is what I did, and I'm going to be as honest as I can be with you. I sat down and I decided I was going to come up with a working definition after all looking at the OED, after dealing with all of these passages, a working definition for edification. And it started okay. But it was like rolling a snowball down a hill. It just got away from me. So don't read this, because it's my working definition. Then I'm going to show you God's. It's much shorter. My working definition, okay? Don't write this one down. But I am going to go over it, because I think it's pretty good. But it's not as good as God's. It got away from me, okay? Here it is. Edification for believers, Christians, in this dispensation of grace, individually and corporately as a body, is the imparting of spiritual ability, capacity, stability, and strength by the instruction and exhortation of sound doctrine contained in the epistles of the Apostle Paul in their proper sense and sequence of Romans through Philemon, with the result that those believers, those Christians, will think like God, act like God, and labor together with God as sons in all that He's doing. The result of edification being true, genuine godliness, God-likeness. And without said edification, true, genuine godliness is impossible. And then I thought about this and thought about this and thought, this is not the way God would say it. So is there a place where God does say it? Where He would take everything in this huge, junky paragraph and condense it and say it the way He wants it to be said so that it effectually works in my inner man? And He has. His definition of edification, and this, and another reason when we get to it, which I'll bring out maybe on Sunday, there is something that God has said to you that you already know that an edifice is being built. He said enough to you in several passages so that when He comes to Romans 14 and verse 19, and He confronts you with the word, the actual word edify, you're not shocked by it. You're not scratching your head wondering what it is. You're not puzzled by it. You're not befuddled by it. You know exactly what it is. And one of those passages is the one I'm about to show you, because God gave you His working definition for what edification is. And it includes everything I have on the board in one simple statement. This is God's definition. God's working definition. Edification is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That says it all. That says everything I tried to say. Edification is, if that's not being done, the only way it can be done is by Paul's epistles being taught in their proper sense and sequence. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, there's where the edifice is being erected. That ye may prove. Now here's the godliness part. Why do you have three things? Why do you have good, acceptable, and perfect? Now, this isn't verse 1 where you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That checks you out on those sections of doctrine to make sure you've got the effectual working of those three big sections of doctrine to pass the checkpoint. These are three things for what reason? Godliness. When we studied this, what is that good? That's the godly thinking. You're thinking good. You've got good thinking as a son. And that leads to acceptable conduct and behavior and fruit from that conduct and behavior that your Father will accept because it's righteous and holy in His sight. and perfect. That's what the labor portion does with the thinking and the conduct. It perfects it. It makes it so the Father can look at you and say, for what I've taught you and what you've attained to, son, now you've got it down perfect. Doesn't mean that you're perfect and sinless. It means that you have attained to a level of skill and perfection so that your Father can look at that and he can say, that's perfect, let's move on. And then we'll get the next thing. That verse is the working definition of edification. Edification is that. It's to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That says a lot. Because there's only one way that's going to work. That's a very narrow thing. That doesn't get done by reading the Bible. That doesn't get done by memorizing Scripture. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind takes place when that word is off, no longer on the pages of God's word, but it becomes the living word in you, having been written on the fleshy table of your heart as that ever-permanent and sensitive issue of your edification. And then you're going to prove something. You're not going to ask about God's will, wring your hands about God's will, cry about God's will, beseech God's will, crawl through crushed glass for God's will. You're going to prove it. That's sonship. That's sonship. You're going to make decisions all on your own based upon your renewed mind that's been transformed. That's the work that we do here. That's the work of the local assembly. I don't give a hoot about Sunday school pens or award Bibles or all the other nauseating junk that goes on in churches today. This is what I'm after. If we end up having to shut our doors, we're going to shut our doors, and the last day we're open, we're going to be being transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Anyway, I'm not saying that to berate any of you. I'm just saying I thought we needed at least one class so we can say we've got it on record. This is what edification is. We talk edification all the time. Well, this is what it is. Any questions or comments? I'm done. Yeah, I'll get you some. Okay. I'll get you some. That email was 7 pages long. Just that one. Okay. Good enough. We'll stop right there and we'll pick up on Sunday with our heads bowed. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful to be in a line of such grace and such dedication to the principles that you have laid down in your word. We thank you, Father, that we have found the truth. We know where the truth is and how it works within us. And so it's just something that we pause tonight to be able to look back on and say how wonderful it is that we can be edified unto godliness which is in faith, and know what we're talking about when we say it and know how it's accomplished. And we look forward, Father, because we know that we are mere freshmen. We are reaching that sophomoric stage. We are looking forward to the time of becoming wise men and women and men and women of understanding. And we look forward to all of those achievements that we have yet before us. And we're so grateful to be involved in this. And so I think each one of us here would want to thank you for that and for the opportunity to not only be edified unto godliness, but to be a part of the chagrin of the adversary in this world, and that we might have the privilege one day of suffering the sufferings of Christ and filling up those things within our own lives to your honor, glory, to our benefit, and to the betterment of our sonship life. We just again thank you for all these things, and we pray that we will continue to take them seriously. We will think on them. We will commune with you about them, and that we will continue to be faithful to what a local assembly is all about until the day, the very last breath we have on this earth. We thank you for all these things. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our head, for we ask it in his name. Amen. You are dismissed.